Welcome back to The Edge. Up and down, more volatile search results this year than ever before. Quality Raters guideline with five new important updates. And could there be corruption and antitrust at Google? You're listening to News from The Edge for the week of October 25th, 2021, here on Edge of the Web Radio.
From the Edge of the Web studios, here's what we're looking at this week.
Here we're back, Edge of the Web Radio. If you haven't come across this show before, thanks for joining us. If you're listening or on our video stream, I'm your host, Aaron Sparks of Site Strategics. Every week, we bring some amazing guests to talk with about digital marketing topics to chew on and kind of discover for your digital marketing tactic pleasure. Each week, we're covering SEO and digital marketing news as well, separate from our interview podcast each week. So we dig into more news as quickly as we can to be able to arm you for your week in digital marketing. So check out everything over at edgeofthewebradio.com. That's edgeofthewebradio.com. This is the Site Strategics Digital Marketing News Desk of Edge of the Web. And joining me to get his take on all things digital marketing, especially SEO, especially Google this week. Now, although we're always talking about Google, right? But this week, boy, there's some news. It is Morty Oberstein, head of communications over at Semrush. Morty, how you doing, sir?
I made a big mistake.
Yes, you did. You really did joining the show.
We had a lengthy pregame podcast.
Yes, we did.
And I drank all my water.
Oh, gotcha. Oh,
it's a blurry shot. Which means I will both be thirsty and be needing the bathroom about halfway through this podcast.
Yeah, you really need to come prepared, man. You do. I'm sorry.
I did come prepared. I didn't come prepared for a 3-hour extravaganza before the podcast.
Yeah, we got to get that into B-roll because that's always a fun thing. What we do to warm up?
That shouldn't. Yeah, that's like it's not a comprehensible really. In general,
we usually
you leave a lot appropriate.
Exactly. So that's never going to make the airwaves, right?
Nor should it. It's like imagine it was something was completely dysfunctional and disoriented and disorganized.
Yeah.
But like imagine that way worse. That's what goes on before the show.
But that helps us shake all that out so we can be even more organized and delivering spot on headlines and tactics in communication, right?
Such as, did you see that thing of Shaq standing at the NASCAR thing that Jacob showed us before?
He's literally throwing that right. Okay, fine. Go ahead. Give it to him. Thanks a lot.
Jacob, you take this one away because this is your beauty.
Well, wait a minute. Did you just say Shaq was at a NASCAR thing?
Yeah, well, that was Formula One. Yeah, so he completely got that off. So there's even more dysfunction happening on this podcast immediately. So here he was trying to bitch and moan here, and he gives a check. So go ahead. Throw it up there.
This is Shaquille O'Neal standing on the ground next to two men standing on podiums.
Unbelievable.
At the trophy ceremony.
He's taller than one of them, which is amazing.
They're on podiums, and he's literally taller than...
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. It's That's huge news for the digital marketing world.
It's huge. They're so glad they tuned in this week.
Wow. Are you here all week?
I try the veal.
I mean, if I need to start a little 5-minute Formula One, you know, side podcast, I'm willing to do it, but I don't think it's going to work.
Those drivers could be very well triggered by just what you're saying there.
Can I be honest with you, Jacob?
Yeah.
The only reason any of us cares is because Shaq is in it.
That's true.
Oh, wow. See, that's a whole sports slam from Woody Overstein. How about that? All right. Well, if you're all warmed up on the show, let's dive into some news here. Let's look at our first article from Search Engine Land from Barry Swartz. Google search results are more volatile this year than last year, says a particular data provider. According to new data from Semrush, the volatility in Google search results for 2021 have been much more intense and frequent than previous years, says Morty Oberstein, our own Morty Oberstein. He actually published snippets of data from Semrush on Twitter the other day showcasing this. So without me jumping into this, share with us, Morty, your analysis and what you were able to come up with from Semrush.
I'm so thirsty.
Want some crackers? Come on.
Go to the bathroom.
Oh my God. This is what I have to deal with, folks, every week. This is what I have to deal with. We try to shake it loose in the pre-show. No, but it rears its ugly head right here.
It honestly just makes it worse. what happened was Barry was sharing on SEROundtable.com constantly these unconfirmed algorithm updates. Mm-hmm. The poor Barry was saying, like, I feel like I'm running this every day. It's getting a little old. There's a Barry joke right there.
There it is.
So I thought, hey, why don't I ask the data team if we can pull some data to show how often or how frequently updates are happening now versus the past. And lo and behold, it turns out they're happening way more often, which means that Barry's not crazy. Essentially, across all the verticals, mobile and desktop, what you're looking at is there's way more instances of both high search volatility. So high is being classified as a, anywhere out of a 5 out of 10 on the volatility scale to an 8 out of 10. And also more very high volatility days, meaning 8 out of 10 through 10 out of 10 on the volatility scale. Now, don't confuse this. It doesn't mean to say that rank is inherently more volatile, meaning the severity of the volatility is not in question here. Okay. In fact, I think that's a little bit less based on a previous study I did analyzing the core updates showing that they're less volatile. What this means is there's more consistency in the volatility, meaning volatility itself is more frequent. How severe each swing is a different question, but you're talking about something upwards of there's 65% more days of volatility in 2021 than there were in 2020 on desktop, and 84%, an increase in the number of days of volatility on mobile from 2021 through 2020, to 2020.
So this is a really good picture of the new terrain, because we used to be able to, as SEOs, look at sizable shifts in algorithm and not nearly as much volatility. You could actually pinpoint a couple key points on the calendar in which there was some high changes, but we're not seeing those anchor points in a year now. Volatility is now in a space where it's a constant motion, a constant change. We're seeing things happening within the month, so there's no pinning down a particular algorithm change, because it's not the size of the pendulum swinging, it's that it's swinging all the time now, right?
Essentially, and what you have is, when you dive into the actual shifts, there are actual ranking shifts. This site went up, this site went down, but you see a lot of his other reversals, right? So October 1st, there's an update. October 5th, there's another update. It's a reversal of, so site went up, now it goes back down. I mean, I'm oversimplifying. It can be over the course of many, many weeks, many, many months. But when you look at the ranking trends over time, you'll see these sites just go up, down, back and forth, as if Google is testing something.
Exactly.
Which it eventually either does elect or doesn't elect to roll out, which I would imagine would happen in, say, a core update. Mm-hmm. But to me, I speculate that what's happening is there's a ton of machine learning adjustment on the fly that's testing things out on the fly, for lack of a better way of explaining it, that Google's testing to see whether it's more effective or less effective, that it eventually either decides to implement or not to implement that change.
Got it. So we're seeing...
But don't freak out.
Don't freak out, or at least grab your towel. No, don't freak out, because it's now, the reversals are happening even more quickly, right?
Yeah, which means when you see, like, oh, great, like I posted on Twitter, which you didn't reply to, I said, oh, now I know why you're trolling my my podcast with ads. Because I shot up in the rankings for the keyword best SEO podcast, and you shot down.
Wow.
But I would imagine that will reverse itself at some point, only to reverse itself again.
Yeah. You noticed that I didn't respond to that, right?
Yeah, I noticed that. What's the matter? Sparks can't take the heat.
See, he actually thinks I'm bidding on him. It just so happens that he has SEO and podcast in his phrase.
That's how I rank for stuff. SEO and podcast.
As opposed to Edge of the Web. Did you happen to see our nice knowledge graph, Edge of the Web? Right? It's right there.
Yeah, you do. You also target the whole digital marketing thing, and I stay away from that because I'm very niche.
You are niche. You're niche with that new haircut, too, by the way. I failed to actually. Yeah, there's our knowledge panel. Oh. Look at that. Isn't that beautiful? That's nice. That's just. All right.
I hope another maybe algorithm knocks you out tomorrow.
For our podcast listeners, we have a nice knowledge panel that we talked about the news last week, just rolled out. So a lot of podcasters out there are now experiencing a nice carrot for doing solid work over the years, right? Let's pivot over to another article. This is a Search Engine Journal here with Lily Ray. She actually came out with an article on the 19th last week, 5 new Google quality Raider guideline changes and what you should know about them that actually matter to your bottom line. So Google, actually, if you're not familiar with the Quality Raiders guideline, it's a guideline about 160 odd pages that was rolled out, correct me if I'm wrong, about 6 years ago, that basically is Google's instructions to the human evaluators that they hire to be able to evaluate the authority and value of sites. Now, that's a whole other discussion of how they use that particular qualitative research. But in this, we are constantly being provided a document of how Google sees quality and sees value in sites. And anybody who's inside of SEO should be paying attention to these changes regularly, because they are very important to get an idea of how to actually view your website and make certain specific changes towards quality. The series of changes that were released last week were primarily around YMYL content, lowest page quality, and more. And we certainly will give you show notes on the page so you can dig into everything there. But Google announced 5 updates to their Search Quality Raters guidelines last week and issued an updated version of the document, and we'll actually link that into the show notes as well, with a brief explanation of each one in its change log. Got to pay close attention to the changes made to QRG. That can actually help inform you of the future direction that Google's actually heading as well, and how it evaluates EAT, E-A-T, which is Expertise, Authority, and Trust. So what's new in the guideline? The definition of groups of people in the YMYL, Your Money, Your Life category, that has changed. How to research reputation information for websites and creators has actually been refreshed. The lowest page quality section has actually changed very much. The definition of upsetting and offensive has been updated. Well, I hope we can pass that muster, because... It's usually the case.
This is exactly why we don't let anyone watch the pre-show, because it would be upsetting and offensive.
And then edits.
Not offensive. More just upsetting, I think.
It's disturbing. We'll just sit on disturbing. How about that?
It's mostly upsetting.
And edits for clarity and consistency throughout. So, tackling a couple, won't go into most, but first and foremost, Morty, what are your thoughts about QRG and YMYL as it applies to SEO? What should we be paying attention to in these documents that Google rolls out?
So top level, right? So the Quality Raider guidelines are not implemented into the algorithm. I mean, what you see here, correct, is not necessarily part of the algorithm. Now, Google has talked about sort of replicating some of the quality things that the way you and I as a person would try to evaluate EAT or quality, right, through the algorithm. But we don't know where exactly that does or doesn't happen. They haven't officially, you know, sort of said, yeah, well, we sort of are pretty good at replicating this little part of the Quality Raiders guidelines in the algorithm. Not exactly, not, you know, precisely, but sort of kind of good at it. Mm-hmm. So Quality Raiders guidelines are not part of the algorithm. That's not to say, though, that they're not really important, because this is where Google wants to go. Meaning, if Google could, it would do all of these things.
Absolutely.
And Google is algorithmically trying to do as much of it as possible, just logically speaking. Which is why it's really important to pay attention to people like Glenn Gabe or Lily Ray or, yep, whoever out there when you have algorithm, myself maybe. Mm-hmm. I'm so shameless. When you analyze an update to see what changes Google seems to be making based upon what people are seeing or happening to their sites that may align to some of the elements within the guidelines.
Holy moly.
Possibly.
Unless it's a Tuesday. All right. So what does YMYL mean to you? So it's Your Money, Your Life. And Google has been focused on this ever since 2018, whenever the YMYL Medic algorithm rolled out. Thank you very much. And it truly did have a repercussion in the medical space, as well as alternative medicines and other sites that were pushing content that were making promises, right, about an improvement in your lifestyle or your health without foundational knowledge or expertise or authority. And that's a summation. If you're not an authority, if you're not cited, if you don't have good reference and citations, then you could actually be losing ranks because of what you're pushing out there content-wise is not really valid. So who this affects are the groups that they've defined. So you can actually see on the screen, they did a compare and contrast of the groups defined there. Groups of people in the previous document have been augmented to that. So it's age, caste, disability, ethnicity, gender identity and expression, immigration status, nationality, race, religion, sex, gender, sexual orientation, veteran status, victims of a major violent event and their kin, or any other characteristics that is associated to systemic discrimination or marginalization. So content, and how to use this is if you are publishers of content that meet or try to support or connect with those type of groups, your content needs to be factual, not exploitative, if that's the phrase. And it should be moved through a website that is actually has a level of authority. Okay, I'm be over my skis here, but Morty, give us a little bit of shepherding here. Is that where we are?
Yeah, I mean, what's funny with this particular change to the Quality Raters guidelines, I have a suspicion that Google's recognized that there's so much has changed in the social fabric of our society. Yeah. That redundant social fabric of our society. What else would the social fabric be of? But noodles? That it wants to make sure that the people assessing these sites, which they do use to sort of, you know, baseline or benchmark the algorithm,
right,
are looking at sites properly based upon this, you know, where we are with the amount of garbage that's being put out there, or discrimination or racism or all this great, sarcastic that's out there. It needs to make sure that the raters are aligned to that. And I wonder if they're doing that to make sure that the algorithm is aligned and acting properly based upon what's happening out there in terms of what kind of people are putting out what kind of crazy ass content. That's my theory.
I would agree with that. It's a contextual awareness guideline for, and again, the algorithm's getting trained by the vision that Google's setting out in these Quality Raters guidelines and actually understanding.
Well, they'll compare them, right? Mm-hmm. They'll see, like, you know, what do the raters do with this site? I'm more simplifying this. And what do the algorithm do with this site? Okay, right. What could we do to fix this?
Exactly.
And a lot of the changes that you're seeing are a little bit different in nature from the changes I think you've seen in the past, where it's really being specific about the social nature of content. Mm-hmm. That wasn't really specified in the guidelines as explicitly as before. Mm-hmm. And I think Google is trying to catch up with the times a little bit.
Absolutely. They're also doing the same
thing.
Cover
their ass.
Not only groups, but also other factors of how they categorize lowest page quality content. Basically, more importantly, it's expanded the definitions and provided specific examples of what it means for a page to cause harm, spread hate, and misinformation of users. Now, we've talked about Google and its relationship to truth on this show multiple times, and they are trying to be able to be not so much altruistic, but unbiased in the space, but also provide good content to its users and protect its users from content that could be deemed hateful or in one way, shape, or form causing harm. So they've actually extended the additions of documents, and I think we should really well welcome what they've done here. Websites that dox users should never see the light of day in a Google index, right? Content containing instructions on committing suicide or homicide. Content that contains offensive or dehumanizing stereotypes. Harmful content that can be easily refuted by widely accepted facts. I'm going to put an asterisk on that one.
Crazy that we have to say that. I'm sorry. That's crazy.
I know. Unsubstantiated theories that are not grounded in facts or evidence. That's another asterisk. Okay.
The fact that we're at this point in time in the world where we need to say, like, if it's not true and it sounds nuts,
yep,
that's not good quality, is in and of itself a problem, I think.
I think you're right, is that we have to train ourselves again and again to be able to know what we're looking at. And we have a society that has been clickbaited to death, is that we have to purge ourselves regularly of what what we can be attracted to because of the ADD society space that we're in, right? So we have, it's a catch-22 here. We want to be able to see and consume things quickly, but we don't have the time or the discipline to be able to verify results ourselves. Therefore, we're having to trust the machines and trust the content purveyors to do that for them. There's a big slippery slope there. I'm going to steer away from it. The other key factor here is the unsubstantiated theories that are not grounded in facts or evidence. What's the definitive point of facts or evidence? There's a big gray area there. And
well, you're always going to have to rely on people to have some sort of sense of things or common sense, right? Obviously, like a post, let's take alt medicine, a post that talks about the possibility of, I don't know, like, you know, acupuncture being able to cure whatever, and presents the information in a really balanced way that points out that this is limited information, it's just a theory, there's reason to think that it's a possibility, versus if you stick a needle into my arm, it'll cure cancer.
Right. So I think
those are two different things.
They're absolutely, and I think that Google's going to find its way to a place where it can shepherd its consumers with caveats or some sort of citation or some sort of call out that this content hasn't been verified, right? As opposed to just not allowing it to be indexed.
This is where content creators need to, like, this is where, you know, Google's got a real problem, is that people are basically a bunch of jerks, for lack of a better word, right? As opposed to saying, you know what, like, let me present a really balanced way of giving off this information so that the user can make their own choice and they understand the limitations of what I'm saying.
Right.
I will just present this as if it's the gospel, no matter how crazy it sounds. Because I had the best words. Had to go there.
Yeah, I had to go there. So is this a fake news ultimatum here?
There's a lot of this going on. It's not just, but I don't think it's fair just to pigeonhole it to like the fake news political side of things and the bias in that goes out there from a lot of people. That's one whole problem. But this goes much deeper than that. This goes to your average everyday sort of content.
Particularly
in the YNYL space. Whether it be health or finance, people are not presenting information. You see this all the time with SEO data, let's say. No one will ever admit, like, you know, like, yeah, this data set might be a little bit too small to make this conclusion wholeheartedly.
No, you're absolutely right.
This is the data.
You can't be definitive. You have to back up your sources. You can't back up your sources.
You have to back it up. But nothing is really, you know, nothing is so clear cut. Usually not. So present the information that way.
And so this is Google's particular manifesto of how it evaluates content, and in, you know, again, borderline reviewing what's truth and what's not, but at least it's giving us a picture of what it constitutes as malevolent content, harmful content, untrustworthy content. So we're seeing more and more about how we can start navigating these waters with that in hand. And there are always going to be QRG updates, and you want to be paying attention to them regularly, because something that comes through on this could very well affect yourself or a client of yours. You want to make sure that it's passing through the eye of this particular needle.
You definitely want to be, you know, this is where you definitely want to be skating towards.
Yeah, you really do. You really do. It's not an algorithm change, but you better believe that's the focus that Google has on content that it serves up in its index. Okay, we're proud to reference Site Strategics on a regular basis. We are the sponsor of Edge of the Web News, and we're pioneers in the agile digital marketing methodology. So check out what we can do core web vital optimization, technical SEO audits on a regular basis, search engine marketing, social media optimization and marketing, as well as conversion rate optimization focused on continued increase in lead generation for your website. So if that's something you're interested in possibly exploring with us, give us a shout at 877-SEO-4-WEB or 877-736-4932. All right, last article on the Google agenda here. This has been a Google show today. I'll tread carefully on this space. We have brought to your attention regularly different challenges in the digital marketing space and when it comes down to news as opposed to tactics. So here's a newsworthy article that we want to bring up in front of you. This is from Search Engine Land, from Henry Powderly. Google throttled non-AMP page speeds, created format to hamper header bidding, and then antitrust complaint claim. So there's recently unredacted sections of the complaint that paint a damning picture of Google's motivations, if true, could erode any trust that it has left with publishers. Now, we've talked about AMP on this program for years. Not a big fan, never was a big fan of AMP. And we were really talking about that from a user experience standpoint, that we were stripped of a lot of control of aesthetics and design to be able to help convert leads. But there is a complaint right now. The state of Texas has filed a complaint, the AG's office, on behalf of 12 mostly Republican states. And inside of this particular complaint, this case, it's alleging that Google even throttled the load speed of pages that are not using AMP in order to give a nice comparative boost to AMP. Now, here's the deal. The throttling that they were referencing was about throttling non-AMP ads that slowed down header bidding, which Google then used to denigrate header bidding for being too slow. Now, and this is in the ad space itself, header bidding can often increase latency of websites and create security flaws when executed incorrectly. That's what Google falsely claimed several years back here. Google employees were actually grappling on how to publicly justify Google making something slower. So this is an allegation here that they were actually throttling down the non-AMP ads that were pushing through. So the lawsuit, which cites internal Google documents, was originally filed on September 9th and was heavily redacted. However, a ruling by a Manhattan judge forced the release of the most unredacted version on Friday. Google hasn't responded to the search engine land request for comment. So let's just dive into header bidding for a quick second to understand what they're talking about. Header bidding, at the center of this issue, is header bidding an advertising practice where publishers can place their ad inventory on numerous ad exchanges at once. Its method is meant to be able to sidestep Google's waterfall approach to bidding, which often favors Google ad servers, right? So waterfall is literally where if it's not a direct ad request, if I want to run an ad on this particular website, that takes priority and prime visibility. After that direct ad, then you're going to be dealing with this waterfall of the ad exchanges, and which are the largest ad exchanges. And you could very well lose a priority stance because you're not on a specific ad exchange as the ad request waterfalls through these different exchanges. So with AMP, it removed the JavaScript availability for those header bids that could do a multiple exchange disbursement. All right. AMP itself was a stripped down, very fast vehicle, and we were told that it was very fast for the consumer's use to be able to grab that information faster and potentially even be a ranking score. Although I think we've gone through the years and understood that this was not an actual ranking factor. However, there's allegations here that AMP itself was not delivered for the consumer, but it was a tactic to actually strip the JavaScript availability out of the header of these web pages that were going to be using AMP. So that delivery mechanism would not be there for the other ad exchanges, but in fact, it would be preferred to be able to use the Google ad delivery exchange as opposed to others. All right, there's a long-winded picture there. But if this is the case, and a number of people in social media in the PPC space were pretty hot over the weekend talking about what has just been revealed here. In fact, Kirk Williams out there was huge on this space and really pointed out here that if that's the case, that AMP was rolled out basically with an intent of throttling back ads that were not on its own exchange. Boy, that's a terrible place for Google to be in, if in fact that's true. All right, Google, Morty, you want to touch this with a 10-foot cattle prod, man?
Not really. I'm sure Barry Adams is sitting around laughing his ass off because he hated AMP.
Yep.
Geez, where do you start with this? I mean, so this is a part of the larger, collusion with Facebook.
Right.
Save their very high commission rates on their ads from these other networks. The question is, in my mind, is this an allegation? Like, it's an allegation. We have to keep this in mind. Let's see what happens with this and where this goes. Or is this an allegation like OJ allegedly killed his ex-wife?
Right.
That's basically what you're dealing with. And I don't know.
No, but there are so many SEOs that are on the fence with AMP to begin with, right?
It sounds almost like a conspiracy theory when you, right? But when you dig deeper into it, what they were trying to prevent was a serious blow to their business.
Oh, absolutely.
And there was a thread. Andrew Optimizey shared it, a friend of the show, mm-hmm. friend of everybody, absolutely. Friend of humanity,
a very, very friendly guy.
Andrew Optimizey shared a thread where someone goes through all of the redacted documents that they exposed, and it's like I didn't even read all of them. It's like 40 tweets going through screenshots of these various pieces of now revealed information about what was it, Project Jedi or Blue mm-hmm. Jedi, whatever it was called. This is not the bidding system you're looking for.
There's
something here. Like where there's smoke, there's fire.
Right.
I don't know if it's this far with AMP. I don't know if it's X, Y, or Z. Mm-hmm. But to me at this point, it looks like there's enough coming out that there's something there. And Google's going to have to reply to this, or it doesn't help. I mean, I don't know. If they did it, then I don't know what you reply.
No.
You're basically, you know, I don't know. What do you do? Other than fess up and admit we did this and that's, you know, make good on it.
I don't know.
It's going to be interesting.
It's going to be interesting. And you want to make sure you tread lightly, obviously, in these spaces, especially whenever the first blush is coming out here. You got a lot of information to sift through. Rand Fishkin of Spark Toro did jump in there and he made a comment. All these years, all those Googlers, devs, and SEOs defending AMP, and this is just the tip of the iceberg. It was sparking a thread of outrage and disgust over the allegations. So, I mean, there's a lot of people that were promoting AMP for the longest time. This shop was rolling out AMP sites regularly as well over the years, and we're all really wondering why we were doing this, if this is actually the case, that it was not, if the speed was not the reason, and then what was the reason? If this was actually a manipulation of sorts to be able to get ad exchanges out of the way, my gosh, is that simple? I certainly
don't. So I don't know. Like, that's where there's a fine line. You know, if you have somebody promoting it over on the Google side.
Yeah.
Are they part of this massive conspiracy, or are they promoting a product that they have and they think there's a solid read? Like the SEO rant that my episode pages are AMP because that was a really easy way to boost my mobile performance on the Wix platform.
Right.
Why I went with AMP because it made sense. Why not? It was literally a click of a button mm-hmm. and I jumped my performance. There were a bunch of issues that I couldn't fix. Great. Now I have to go check because I know Wix improved the performance since I did that. So maybe it's been time to go un-AMP or reverse that.
Right.
But there are legitimate reasons why somebody would or would not go AMP. And there are certainly are benefits to it. Now, as an entire ecosystem or way of thinking about mobile pages, does it make sense? So these are strong case why not. But I don't think, you know, if John Mueller's promoting AMP at Google, come on.
Yeah.
Hey, John's not part of a conspiracy that's out to, you know, throttle pages that are actually going to, you know, that are actually better or then in this case that are for ad purpose bidding. Mm-hmm. John is promoting AMP because John thinks, and I don't know if John ever did or not promote AMP. I'm not saying he did or did not. I have no recollection or not. But if he did promote AMP, it's because John works at Google and thought this was a good idea and it made sense and there's a valid case for it. So there's a fine line you need to walk with this. Like, don't jump in and drink the Kool-Aid that, like, everyone at Google is horrible people, massive conspiracy. They're just out to use AMP for their own benefit.
I would agree with you, and that's where we're going to set camp right there, is that there's a lot of different players inside of Google. We certainly hope for the best, but there's a lot of people that are in our industry that are very upset right now with
this. It's very concerning.
Absolutely. And on top of that also AMP was not required of publishers earlier this year. Google was able to actually roll that out to us. And we don't, now we're starting to look at, okay, what was the timing of that? Right, exactly.
That would cover, right, who knows? And that's part of the sticking point here is that publishers were basically forced to go AMP.
Right. News publishers predominantly. Yeah. You're absolutely right.
So now it's a very large clientele of ad revenue.
So you throw this log in the fire, and there's a heck of a lot of other things that are happening, favoring Google properties, rewriting publishers' titles. There was a massive thing happening about a month and a half ago in that space, and also other allegations of collusion with Facebook, like you mentioned before. There's a heck of a lot of news happening right now of what has Google been doing, and we certainly hope that as SEOs, we've been playing with an unadulterated a set of cards here, right? In the PPC realm, did this happen? It's tough to fathom that would have been that overt of a change. But for the system to kind of reveal what in fact did happen, and we'll report as we deem fit over on our side of the fence.
Right. Hopefully we'll get more clarity and it won't end up being as murky as the OJ case.
Right. No, you're absolutely right. Murky. Okay, you know what's not murky? Hashtag SEO chat every Thursday, 1 p.m. Eastern. What are we talking about this week?
I just want to point out that I'm living out Norm MacDonald's legacy by keeping OJ jokes alive.
We miss him.
That's OJ jokes. Now that Norm MacDonald's dead, unfortunately. Narissa Marbury.
Huh? Okay, I got it.
Narissa Marbury is hosting SEO chat. Ooh, that was good. Sweet. How did even pull that off? Jacob pulled up Narissa's profile on social. That was good, Jacob.
Absolutely, yeah.
You guys are prepared.
I get one a week.
And spend it on the show? On Morty Section? Come on!
Jacob is the best.
Oh, God.
Narissa's hosting a SEO chat about building your personal brand.
Oh, cool. Very cool. So
1 p.m. Eastern Thursday.
We're going to poke at Jason Bernard, see if he can come on to that particular chat, because he's all about brand SERPs, right?
If Jason shows up, I'm sure there'll be many tweets with knowledge panels in it.
A few. Yeah. Just a few. We'll show up for that one. Yeah. Personal brand. Go check it out. Yeah, 1 p.m. Eastern, hashtag SEO chat on Twitter. All right. It's a long one for everybody, but we certainly want to dig in the news this week. Morty, any final comments for this week in digital marketing for our listeners?
No, just don't drink your water too quickly. Always space it out.
He's so parched. Look at him.
I am dying.
Come prepared. You know what? Come prepared.
And I should have a bigger cup.
Have a 32-ounce bottle or something like that, dude. I mean, come on.
There's no 7-Eleven here.
We expect so little of you. At least be able to get through the show. All right, that's it for Edge this week. Make sure that you check out our second episode of the Victor Zertomyski podcast. Check out everything. Be sure to like, comment, and subscribe to our YouTube channel as it gets updated as we go live or drop videos into the lane. And from all of us over at Edge, stay safe, stay well, and do not be a piece of cyber driftwood. We will talk to you next week. Bye-bye.